Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
A woman named Virginia Satir. I don't know how to pronounce her name right anyway. She's a pioneer when it comes to family therapy. She's even been called the mother of family therapy. She said this. She said that we don't get enough hugs. And you've heard me talk about that before, right? We've even come to practice that. And I hope you practice that in your daily life. Now, if you recall, she said that in order for us to actually survive emotionally in our lives, you need to have at least 4 hugs a day. Just to survive, just to make it. By the hair of your chitty chin chin, right? But if you want to really maintain yourself, you need 8 hugs a day. You get them? Think about it. You can start hugging yourself now, right? Because, wow. And then it says for us to grow or to thrive emotionally, we need at least 12 hugs per day. How many of you say you get 12 hugs per day? Hey, good. Who's hugging you? Look at Ed goes like, what? The cheering, the people whom you say hello, right, sometimes, and their friends and family. You know, hugs are really, 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 really good for you. Actually, studies have been made. If you don't want to believe her, then, you know, some studies have been made, actually. And science has proven that when you, this is a study that was called a warm touch, that we all need a warm touch. And they found that the best or the sweet spot of hugs is 20 seconds. 20 seconds. If you could hug somebody for 20 seconds, that's just amazing. Some of you are sitting really far away from other people, but if you're sitting next to someone and if you want to, try to put your arm around that person, but meaning it, right? Don't just all try at the same time, because some of you are like, right? But you see, when you hug somebody, there's a little hormone, these chemicals in your body called oxytocin, right? And they get released. And these are the happy chemicals of your body. And when they get released, it actually relaxes you. It reduces anxiety. And actually, this hormone, it's also called a cuddle hormone, because it does something to your body. It lowers your pressure. It lowers your blood pressure, your stress, your anxiety. And it stops the other bad hormone, which is the stress hormone, norepinephrine, from developing or from coming out. So you think about it. Whenever you need some happiness in your life, hug somebody. Hug somebody, for real. We think these things are so trivial and so dumb, but yet our bodies have been designed for a physical, warm touch. God made you that way. I want you to think of the instances in which people came to Jesus and his touch became life-saving, like the leper whom nobody dared touch, and Jesus touched. Like the woman who came and got close to him, and she didn't even get to touch him. She just touched his garment, and she was healed. You see, this is important that we know. We have this opportunity to release some of this oxytocin in our bodies and make ourselves feel better when we extend ourselves towards someone and with a warm touch and a hug, right? So, like, hugs then are very important. They actually been proven to reduce pain. When someone's in pain, I don't have Advil, but I have this. Give them a hug and they'll be like, that ain't gonna take my headache away. Oh, trust me. Stay in here for 20 seconds. Right? See, it's like, You know, Tiffany, she's got magical hands. She touches your shoulders and your neck, and you just melt. She's got this touch. And every time she comes over, hey, Pastor, and she touches my neck or my shoulder, that first thing I tell her is, sweetie, you got 20 minutes to stop that. Warning. Right? Wow. A warm touch. Somebody who cares. It just feels right. She comes over and she does a little bit like this on my shoulders, and immediately oxytocin overload. I feel good. I relax. Tensions are gone. When people do that, you see, the long and short is that good long hugs are good for your heart, period. So practice that. Practice that with your friends, with your family, people whom you are dear to, and they're dear to you, and even people who may need it. Have you ever given somebody a hug who needed it and you didn't even know them? Then you've never been to a funeral. Or if you have been, then shame on you. All right? Give somebody a hug. You see, we're talking about friendship. You see, that's one of the needs that we have as humans. We need intimacy. The human heart needs intimacy. This is important. We need to be good friends, right? But you need to be a good friend in order to find good friends too, right? It's like the two friends that went out hunting up in northern United States, and they were hunting up there. And then all of a sudden, one screams, says, "Watch out!" The other one looked, and there was this big grizzly bear charging at them. He was coming. And he noticed that his friend just stopped and took off his boots and started putting on some sneakers. And he's like, "You're not going to outrun that grizzly bear with those sneakers." He's like, "I don't need to outrun the grizzly bear. I just need to outrun you." There's some good friends there, right? Wow. You know, but we all need friends, right? And we just celebrate it, friendship. And I know some of you were here a couple of days ago celebrating and partying and talking about love and friendships. And it's so important. Friendships are so important. I'm glad that God is our friend. And if you look at Jesus speaking to his disciples in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, there's a couple of verses I want to make emphasis on, and that's verses 12 and 13. Chapter 15 of the Gospel of John says, "This is my commandment." This is, you don't play around with love. Love is a commandment. You see, if we were given the choice, you wouldn't love anybody. Or at least you would only love the people that you want to. But God doesn't want to just for you to just love whomever you want to. We get to choose and pick, like, "I love you." "No, I don't love you." "No, I don't love you either. Maybe I'll just love one or two in here and everybody else, boo-hoo." But that's not what God says. God says it's a commandment. You are to love people. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." This is very important. "As I have loved you." Man, that carries a lot of weight. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." And we know that that's exactly what Jesus did. But then, how to know a true friend? Let's think about it. I'm going to give you three things that will help you know who's a true friend. Or even check yourself and see if you are a true friend. Okay? I'm not talking about just casual acquaintances or anybody that just hangs out around you at work. We're talking about true friends. These are marks of a true friend. I'm just going to give you three. So how do you know you're a true friend? A true friend sharpens. See, it's Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." You see, if you've ever been around a kitchen and you've ever used knives, there's nothing worse than having a dull knife, right? That's how you have accidents and cut yourself. But when you have a sharpened knife, you have to sharpen it with another metal, and you just drag it across and you just sharpen it, right? And that makes it cut nice and swiftly and softly and easy. And then you get cut because you don't know how to use a knife anyway, right? But see, sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. You sharpen other people, they sharpen you. You see, think about it. A true friend will make you sharper. It will make you a better person, not a bitter person, but a better person. They'll sharpen you. A true friend will put an edge on your life, right? They'll put an edge on your life. They will rub against you in some ways that'll make you sharper. Well, false friends do the opposite. They just dull you. They blunt your influence. They make you just there. They drag you down. And I want you to think about this. And I know that we always talk about our youngsters and to our kids, but this is also for us adults. You need to evaluate the friendships that you have and the relationships. Think about this. Anybody who makes it easier for you to do wrong, that's not a true friend. Anybody who makes it easier for you to say the wrong thing, to do the wrong thing, or to be the wrong person, they're not your true friends. That's why parents are so always, don't hang out with so-and-so. Be careful who you hang out with, because anybody that you come in contact with and you become friends and they'll influence you to make it easier for you to do the wrong thing, that's not your friend. That's simple as that. See, I heard about a farmer who went out there with his shotgun because the crows were messing with his crops. And he just started shooting pa-pow, pa-pow, pa-pow at the crows. And after they all either went away and some of them fell on the ground, he went to check. The sad thing was that when he went to check, his little friendly parrot from home was shot, broken wing on the ground. And he's like, oh, my God, no, my parrot. The kids came out, Daddy, what happened to the parrot? And you know what he answered? Bad company. That's what happened. See, that parrot should have never been hanging out with the crows. That's why he got shot. So you need to be careful. Don't look around here looking for crows. There ain't none in here. You're just a bunch of parrots. I want you to think about this. Be careful who you hang out with. Even Scripture warns us so many times about harmful influences in our lives. You need to be with people who are going to be strengthening you in love and in spirit. You see, But you also need to be a good influence. Because the problem is, a lot of times we're like, well, I ain't going to hang out with you because every time I hang out with you, you bring me down. And the other person goes, well, why do you think I get dragged down? Because I'm hanging out with you too. So we need to be careful, right? We need to uplift people, but we need to be uplifted too. We all need that. But we're going to talk about that in a second. So watch out who you hang out with. Do not be dulled by your friends, by your friendships. Be sharpened by good friendships. Number two. A true friend sticks. Now, a true friend sticks. He may walk with a stick or have a stick or not have a stick, but a true friend sticks to you, sticks by your side. A true friend is steadfast. They're always there. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. If you want to see who your real friends are, then you go ahead and make a mistake and see who stays beside you. You want to know who your friends are? Go ahead and mess it up and see who comes right alongside to help you out and see who leaves you. You see, friendship is like a ship, right? Some people get off board and on board and off board however they please and very easily. But some others will stay, and they will stay only as long as the sailing is smoothly, because as soon as the winds start hitting the friendship, they bail. They bail out and they jump ship. When they see the rough waters, they don't care. They'll abandon ship. But a true friend is one who will stick with you. So get you a sticky friend. But at the same time, you'll be a little sticky too. Amen? All right. Number three, a true friend stabs, but not in the back. A true friend will stab you. It will hurt. A true friend will do that to you. And you're like, oh, wait a second. I don't need friends that are going to be stabbing me. Well, they already have a stick, you know, and they got a stick, and now they got a knife too. Oh, they will stab you, but I want you to see this. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You see, a friend will wound you. He will. He will stab you to do surgery on your heart, maybe. But those who are always kissing up to you, those are not your friends. Even there it says, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend who really loves you will wound you if necessary. Have you thought about that? Let's think about it for a second. What if you were out there in the wild, an adventure with your friends, and you get bitten by a poisonous snake? Would you rather have your friend kiss your wound, boo-boo, kiss your little boo-boo, bye? No, you want him to cut you open and suck the poison out, right? That's exactly what you want. You want him to hurt you, do a little surgery on you. That's what you want. A true friend will do that. You see, faithful are the wounds of a friend, the truth, not hypocritical kisses. Flattery is not a true friend. You think about that. A true friend cares enough to confront. A true friend will care enough to confront you. If they don't confront you, then they might not care as much. So be grateful throughout your life for those who have put their arm around you and said, hey, you're wrong for that. Hey, you think you're doing the right thing here? Because something's wrong. It's okay. So remember that. That's the kind of friends that you need, the kind of friend you need to be, a true friend that will sharpen you, someone that will stick with you, someone that will stab you to help you. But now then, let's think about another thing. How do I become a good friend? Let me give you five things that you need to do to become a good friend, a true friend. And this doesn't happen overnight, right? Some people think that friendships are like mushrooms. They grow in one day. No, they don't. Friendships are like oak trees. They take a long, long time to become strong. Jesus said, right there in John chapter 15, verse 12, love one another as I have loved you. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, and this is at the end, after spending around 3 years with them. This is right at the end, when he's about to be crucified, not long after that. And Jesus is saying, you're not just my servants, you are my friends. Because I've told you what the Father has revealed to me, and I've revealed it all to you. I've trusted you. I've trusted you. You are my friends now. Now, that's the principle, right? But there are some things that we need to do in order to practice this and to make a great friendship. Number one, accept. A true friend accepts. True friends accept. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, we have been made accepted in the Beloved. You see, in Christ, the Beloved, who is love, we have been made accepted before God. Love, when you want to truly have a loving relationship, a true friend accepts, never rejects, doesn't betray. And I want you to think about this, because Jesus, while they rejected him and they even betrayed him, he never rejected a single one of them. Even Judas, when he came and betrayed him with a kiss, Jesus did not reject him. Actually, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. I chose you and I ordained you. I appointed you. I'm the one who's made you. I'm the one who did what was supposed to be done in your life. I'm the one. I'm your friend. You see, Jesus did not accept his disciples because they were perfect, but because they needed him. And sometimes you may have friends that are not so perfect, but they need you, and you need them. We need friendships. Number two, not only accept, but a friend, a true friend, acknowledges. They recognize. They acknowledge. They give your heart full attention. You see, they hear you. When you talk to people, be also like Linda. Listen. Right? You listen. Listen to people. That shows empathy. You need to use empathy. You need to just listen. Just listen. Have you thought about some people who they just need to be heard? You don't need to fix them. You see, that's our problem, right? That's one of the problems that we face in friendships. That every time, some people do this, every time you come at them with a problem, they say, tell you what you got to do. I didn't come here for you to tell me what I got to do. I just wanted you to hear me out, AJ. Right? I'm just using it as an example, bro. Because you're looking at me like you, yeah, you're a good friend. Right? Some people just need to be heard. And you just need to be quiet and listen. That's all they need. And that's transforming. Have you ever gone to somebody because you just wanted to be listened to? I know I have. Have you found some people that you just go and you tell them what you want to say because you just need to get it out of your chest and they start dumping on your chest something else? Yeah, encounter those two. And then some people, some friends, so-called friends, they tell you, well, if you didn't want me to tell you what to do, then don't tell me what your problem is. Really? Some people think they're fixers. You just need to acknowledge sometimes. You just look them in the eye and you just let them know that they're important. Remember, these are souls that people, I mean, these are souls that Christ died for. These are people whom God loves. We acknowledge them. We listen. We let them know that they're important, that their presence is important. Number three, not only we just accept, acknowledge, but we also appreciate them. Be appreciative. Friday, well, we were celebrating Valentine's, and I got a phone call from a friend. We met in the Navy back in 1989. It's been a few afternoons since then. Been a minute. That's how they say now, right? Been a minute. And we served in the Navy together for a few years, since 89 to 93. In 93, he left and went to Alaska, then went to Colorado, then went to Puerto Rico, and then Italy. He started going places and being transferred. I was in the same place for 10 years, never moved. And I didn't see him after that for many years. As a matter of fact, the last time I saw him was 1993. We lost contact for a long time. And then he found me. All this internet stuff. And then he started calling me. And he calls me once in a while. And if I can recall, he's called me on Valentine's Day to say, hey, friend, just want to let you know, man, I love you, bro. And he still tells me, I've never had a friend like you. And I'm like, you'll never have one anyway. Right? You'll have a better one. But he said, no, I just want to let you know, man. And it's been 27 years since we've seen each other's face. It's amazing. That brings tears to anybody's eyes. Being appreciated. I've never had a friend like you. Wow. I could live a year off of that, emotionally speaking, right? But it only took a few minutes of a phone call. So, folks, you know, we need to think. You're lying if you say you don't need to be appreciated. Well, I don't need no credit. I don't need nobody to be thankful. I don't need to be appreciated. I'd rather work in the dark. You can do all the work in the dark, but once in a while, somebody's going to find you and say thank you. Don't be surprised. Take it. You need it. We all need to be appreciated. We all need that. But not only appreciate it, but also we need to be affirmed. A true friend always affirms. You see, appreciation is for what people do. Our affirmation is for people, what people are. How many of you had been or fans or watched or seen many, many years ago Saturday Night Live? Right? Pretty funny. I don't know if you remember the character Stuart Smalley. He was like a counselor psychologist, and he would always tell people to look in the mirror at the end and look in the mirror and say, because I'm good enough, because I'm smart enough. You remember that? And God darn it, people like me. That's what he would say, right, to himself. Because nobody else would say it. Right? But you need to tell people how much you appreciate them for what they do, but also affirm them for who they are. You see, the Lord did that with his disciples. He affirmed them over and over again. They might not have seen it as clearly. It doesn't mean that you approve of everything that the person does, but you affirm them for who they are and what they mean to you. As a matter of fact, some have argued that Jesus never, ever, ever, ever uttered the three words, "I love you." And you can look through the New Testament, you can look through all the Gospels and check out Jesus' life on earth, and you will not find a direct, those three words directly from Jesus in first person in the present tense. You will not find in the Bible where Jesus says, "I love you." And people are like, "What? And he is love?" Well, let me tell you something. Let me give you a few factors here to think about that. As when it comes to affirming. In John 21, verse 25, at the end of the gospel, John writes, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did and probably said, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." There's so much that he did, it's so much that he said, that it's not all contained in the Bible. Okay, but also the apostle John in his gospel, right there in this same book we've been looking at, he affirms that Jesus loved people. You see, when he came to, remember when he was coming back to see Martha and Mary because Lazarus had died, John says that he went back to Martha and Mary whom he loved. And the one whom he loved, the sister says, "The one that you love has died." So somehow, some way, we don't have the recorded words of Jesus saying, "I love you, you love me." We don't have that directly, but people acknowledge that Jesus loved. Not only that, we see also a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "You know, what is it that I got to do to go to heaven?" And Jesus said, you know the commandments? He's like, "Oh, yeah, I know them all, blah, 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 blah. And not only I know them, I follow them." And Jesus said, "Well, great. Now give everything that you own to the poor and then follow me." Everybody remembers that, but a lot of us don't remember that when that story was written, it says, "And Jesus loved him and told him, sell everything you got, give it to the poor. Give it all to the poor and then follow me." Jesus loved even the rich young ruler who actually rejected him and went sadly the other way. There are instances in which Jesus actually says, "I have loved you." And we see that in John chapter 13. Jesus is at the table with the disciples and he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And verse 35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The main characteristic, the thing that distinguishes Jesus from anyone else in life and in the universe is his love. "I have loved. I have loved." Basically, he may not come and say, "I love you." He's just saying, "I've shown you that I love you. I have loved you. I've shown it to you." And he didn't even go to the cross yet. See, the Bible is full of affirmations, and yet it acknowledges the fact that we're sinners and undeserving of this kind of love and friendship. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "But God demonstrates his love, his own love towards you and me, his love, in that while we were yet sinners, not deserving, Christ died for us." Maybe we cannot find enough to satisfy our curiosity in finding those three words, "I love you," directly from Jesus. But one thing is for sure, he didn't just say it, he showed it. He loves us. And last but not least, one thing you can be by a good friend does is that he assures you. You need to reassure people. You need to assure people that you understand, that you know that if they're going through something, you may not understand what they're going through, but you understand that they're in pain. You see, that's the problem. A lot of times we don't know what to say because we don't understand. And you know, you hate it when you say, I know, sweetie, I know what you're going through. No, you don't. Well, okay, I don't understand, but I understand that you're in pain and you need me and I'm here. Is that good enough? Yes, it should be. You don't need to understand everybody else's problems. Don't be afraid not to understand why people feel some way. You just accept it. You just assure them that even if you don't understand, you're right there with them. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes, rejoice with those who rejoice, and what? Weep with those who weep. Now, don't be a hypocrite and just start crying just because, right? But just be compassionate. We've talked about that before. Find a way to let people know that you are sensitive about what they're up against, about what they're going through, what they're feeling, whatever it is. Assure them that you are there and that you are, even in your limited ability, even knowing that you're limited and you can't do it all or understand all, that you understand that you're trying to understand what they're going through, whatever it is. So I want you to think about those five qualities and start practicing them. I need to start practicing more of this. A true friend accepts. A true friend acknowledges. A true friend appreciates. A true friend affirms. And a true friend assures the others. See, a true friendship is also costly. It's costly. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Remember that. A friend loves at all times. You must be willing to pay the price for a true friendship. But finding a true friend and being one in return, trust me, is one of the best investments you can make in life. Because Jesus, after 3 years of spending time with these disciples, at the end of it all, what he said was, you are my friends. I've invested 3 years in teaching, helping, showing everything I can with you and for you. And now we're going to do it within you. I am your friend. You see, greater love has no one than this. I'm done preaching. I know it's early, but I got a little video that I would like for you to watch. I don't know if some of you may know from the old times a hymn called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard that hymn, but that hymn has a story behind it that is just so amazing. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.